Hey, Betties. Welcome to the Better Podcast. It's your host, Dr. Stephanie. It is geeky magic time where I step away from the interviews and just talk to you. It's just going to be me and you today. And these episodes, I'm going to bring you personal insights, frequently asked questions, topic du jour in a more condensed, quick, and actionable way. I go hard on the geek, wrap it up with sprinkles and magic for you to do and be better. One of my goals this year is to make it my best year ever with my skin. And one of the ways that I'm doing that is with the Boncharge Red Light Neck and Chest Mask. Wrinkles, acne, scarring, skin roughness, loss of collagen and elastin happen in the face and in the neck and the décolletage area on our chest where the skin is very thin and susceptible to skin damage. I think at this point we're all pretty good about putting sunscreen on our face, but so many of us miss the neck and the chest area too. I use the Boncharge neck and chest mask daily for about 10 minutes in the morning while I'm checking emails. Their red and near infrared light waves together penetrate up to 5 to 10 centimeters below the skin surface. The red light reaches the skin's top layers and the NIR light targets the deeper tissues without UV exposure. And that's going to help reduce the fine lines, wrinkles, and to help ramp up collagen and elastin production. So I want you to head over and have your best skin with me this year. Go to boncharge.com/better. That's BETTER. And use the discount code BETTER at checkout. And that's going to give you 15% off your entire cart. Transform your health and fitness with the Carol Bike, the smartest, most effective exercise backed by science. You can experience unparalleled results in just a minimum of 15 minutes per week, thanks to AI personalized workouts tailored to your age and your fitness level. You will increase fat loss, train up your strength and your speed, and have better energy, something that every woman, including myself, absolutely covets. I always say that women are the original biohackers. If there's a way for us to feel better and look better, we are all over it. Carol Bike, in my opinion, is one of the best pieces of cardio equipment that you can invest in. Studies prove that Carol helps you achieve a 12% increase in cardio fitness, lowers the risk of type 2 diabetes by 62%, and reduces blood pressure by 5% in as little as 8 weeks. Begin your transformation with the Carol Bike today and enjoy $100 off using the promo code BETTER for our beautiful Better Podcast listeners. That's BETTER. All you have to do is visit carolbike.com.
Hey, hey, Betties. We are going to do something a little different for this week's Geeky Magic. And I'd love to know if this was useful for you. So I'm right away asking you for some feedback on this. We're going to change it up a little bit. And I wanted to share with you today some of the questions that came up in my private membership group. It's called Hello Betty. And as part of your membership in Hello Betty, we have weekly calls and coaching that will help you move closer to your health goals. So whether that is fitness goals, nutrition goals, weight goals, hormonal goals, et cetera. And about twice a month, we have a segment called Ask Me Anything. And this is where you join live on the call, or if you're not able to join live, you can submit your questions in advance around your questions on nutrition or fasting or hormones or fitness or mindset, self-sabotage, all those things. And I'll answer them on the call. So I'm going to share with you a couple of questions that I thought were so great. My Betties are so smart. They're such an awesome group. And if you would like me to answer one of your questions, I invite you to consider joining Hello Betty, because you will have, as I was mentioning, this all access pass to all the programs that we've ever created. That includes my signature program, the Estima Diet, both phases. It includes all fitness programs, the beauty program, the breath work, the yoga, the hormone courses, all the protocols, of course, that are embedded within each of those programs as well. And we have a couple of really great ones coming up. I mentioned Betty Yoga is coming up. We also have a breath work class coming up as well. It's basically your one-stop shop for female health. So there'll be a clickable link in the show notes that you can go and check out the membership, or you can just visit Hello Betty .club. So it's HelloBetty.club, because it's a club, .club. And So I wanted to highlight, this question comes up a lot in the AMA, and I thought that this might be useful for you as well. Her question was that she started the Estima diet about 10 weeks ago. And since then she's lost 14 pounds. She's lost 5 inches in her waist and she feels amazing. So her question was, okay, doc, so I've lost the weight. Like I've never been able to lose this weight. I've been on and off diets and you know, the 5 inches in my waist is just incredible, but how long do I need to stay on the diet, right? Like, am I confined to a life of keto, a life of restricting my carbohydrates? And so I will answer this here for you live. The short answer here is no, right? There's a couple of, there's two points or there's two phases of the Estima diet. And she told me that she was in phase one. And the point of phase one, which is more of a traditional, it's a 70, 20, 10, 70% fat, 20% protein, 10% carbohydrate. The point of that phase one is a fewfold. One is to promote metabolic flexibility, right? Through the production of endogenous ketones. Like that's the goal. So you can certainly supplement with exogenous ketones, but my strong preference is that you're able to produce those ketones yourself. The second point of this phase is to increase insulin sensitivity by temporarily restricting glucose availability. Most people that come to keto, even if you've tried it in the past, even if you eat relatively low carbohydrate, there is some degree of insulin resistance that we do find in the population. And increasing your insulin sensitivity through carbohydrate restriction and therefore glucose availability is going to be very useful. Of course, for women, most of the women that are my Bettys tend to be in their perimenopausal years, although we do see outliers on either side of that. But typically my women between 35 and 55, noticing a lot of systemic inflammation, brain fog, walk into a room, can't remember why you're there. So this is one of the things that getting on a ketogenic diet will help when you are producing your own ketone bodies. This will help to reduce systemic inflammation, including inflammation in the brain. And then finally, the other goal of this phase of the Estima diet is to reduce visceral fat. So with this particular Betty, she reported that she lost 5 inches in her waist. And that is the waist measurement improvement, right? We always want to be looking at waist to hip ratio. I've talked about this on the podcast before. You divide your waist measurement into your hip measurement, and you should get something that is less than 0.8, meaning that you want your waist measurement to be 80% of or less than your hip measurement. So you want your waist smaller than your hips. And that's the point of phase one of the ketogenic diet. However, and there is a big, however, there is a big but here coming, ladies and gentlemen. I do not believe that women should be in ketosis indefinitely. And this is where the development of phase two of the Estima diet came about, the cyclical approach to keto, where there's this strategic increase in protein and we adapt your micronutrients to be harmonious with your menstrual cycle. If you are in your reproductive years, and of course we have parameters for you if you are in your menopausal years as well. And the reason for this is that it seems that, and this phase two was really born out of my clinical observation, that it appears that in some women, not all women, but in some women, long-term keto, where we are restricting the carbohydrates over a long delta, can suppress thyroid function. And in some women, we can see an increased production in their reverse T3, which is basically the mirror form of T3. T3 is your active thyroid hormone. Reverse is the mirror. It's inactive. It's basically junk. It can't be used by the body. We see this with long-term ketogenic diets or long-term carbohydrate restriction in women. We see an increase in this reverse T3. You also see this as well with overly aggressive fasting. And then of course, suppression of insulin, again, over that long delta can also contribute to that increase in reverse T3. And so while it's important to temporarily restrict glucose availability so that we are seeing a drop in insulin. That is not great over the long term. And this is just like all, I do have to put in a bit of a qualifier here. All science is nuanced, you know, and I know, Betty, that you're just listening here, just saying like, just tell me, Frick, like, just tell me what to do. Like, tell me how to eat and I'll just do that thing. Unfortunately, it doesn't work that way. And I would say that that's true for all types of interventions. It's not just like, tell me what to do. This is right. This is wrong. Often we will see that things are right for a certain amount of time. And then as your body adapts and habituates and grows and expands and you are in abundance, so you also need to change that again. And then just as a side note, when we are seeing that increase or that elevated reverse T3, we will often see a decrease in body temperature. So women will often report feeling colder. And so they'll often say, hey, is it because I have less adipose tissue that I'm feeling colder? You know, potentially, but it's also very likely due to a change in your thyroid function. So phase two of the Estima diet really does control for this. What we want to do in phase two is we are cycling weeks of keto with weeks of higher protein and higher carbohydrates. So we're seeing that insulin sensitization with higher carbohydrate intake. We're seeing that increased protein intake, which is also very important, not just for satiety, but for thyroid function as well. And then we've also in the phase two of the Estima diet, we've also built in a refeed. So where we are consuming a higher volume of food. So if you are in your reproductive year, and you are familiar with the Estima method, you'll know that in week four, that week before your period, or if you're menopausal, just week four on your cycle, that we do a refeed so that you are eating a higher volume of food. And you can do this two ways. You can either refeed a higher ketogenic. So if you're, you know, if you want to be ketogenic, you want to do that 70-20-10, you can just have a higher volume of food. Although what I prefer is in that week four that you are having higher, that it's a higher protein week. So it's more of like a 40-40-20 or a 50-40-10. So 40 fat, 40 protein, 20 carbs. And you're actually just having more of that. You're having more of those proteins. And this is going to help activate pathways that are going to prevent an increase in that reverse T3. And it's also going to allow your metabolism to keep cranking out and, you know, prevent that slowing of your metabolism that we commonly see with long-term caloric restriction. So that's really important. The other thing that I've talked about before, but I'll mention it again, is also making sure whether you are in phase one or phase two, that you are consuming micronutrients that help to support thyroid function as well. So selenium, high selenium foods, high iodine foods are really important. So you'll see, I've talked before, I've called Brazil nuts the heavyweight champion of selenium because they are lots and lots of selenium there. And then iodine, right? So if you are salting your food, I use a supplement called Element. It's spelled L-M-N-T. It's by Rob Wolf. Absolutely love this company. You'll see a clickable link in the show notes for Element as well. Highly recommend the grapefruit. It's my favorite. But you can also have things like sardines and liver, you know, organ meats. These are also very, very high in these micronutrients that are going to help support the thyroid.
I am incredibly bullish on sauna as a therapy for recovery, heart health, and overall aging well. I personally decided on an infrared sauna from Sunlighten because of the range of far wavelengths and near infrared wavelengths that it offers. Saunas help with detoxification and rejuvenation to rid your body of toxins. It helps with heart health by improving circulation, reducing blood pressure, and helping keep the arteries supple. It helps with muscle recovery by easing the tension and soreness to recover faster, and of course, stress reduction. With the warmth and the relaxation of sitting in a sauna, it's crucial for hormonal balance and achieving a state of well-being necessary for a strong physique and a strong mind. If you visit sunlighten.com/better and use code better to get a discount, that is sunlighten, sunlighten.com/better, and use code better at checkout.
And this is really, this phase two of the Estima diet was really born out of what I had observed clinically, is that often Women who've essentially been living on 1200 calories. Now, y'all know how I feel about 1200 calorie diets. Unless you are preparing for a show, like some type of fitness show, and you're like a month out, like maybe, you know, even then I'd prefer all your caloric deficit coming from your exercise, but separate topic. We put that aside for now. But I would say that women who have been like living on this 1200 calorie garbage caloric restricted diet for decades, they also tend to engage in more aggressive fasting practices. They have this like super clean eating, this almost like orthorexic way that they are approaching food. So they're not salting their foods. They are, you know, trying to eat, you know, low cholesterol foods. Again, that's an, like salt, cholesterol, and estrogen. Those are like the three big bad wolves of the dying model of allopathic medicine. All three of them have been demonized. All three of them, you've been told you're going to have a heart attack with them. Just completely untrue. However, we see this aggressive fasting practices, not salting your foods, you know, lots and lots of cardio, like, you know, ladies, step away from the cardio machine, step away from the Peloton, you know, do some sort of HIIT training for sure. If you want here and there, make sure that if you're in your reproductive years, it's away from your ovulatory week, your pre-ovulatory week, and make sure that you are getting adequate recovery. Because a lot of times we hear, oh, keto, it's so bad for the thyroid. And it's like, well, you know, potentially I can potentially accept that hypothesis, but it's hard to deconstruct often what's happening because some of these women are also over-exercising, overly calorically restricted, overly intermittent fasting. They've been doing that for a long time. So now that you sort of have a complete picture of what the Estima diet is, I can really answer this question a little better. So I feel like no, the answer is no. You don't need to be on a diet all the time for the rest of your life. What I will say is that the Estima diet has built-in diet breaks into it. So we have these refeed weeks that we've built into the diet. But you can also, you know, if you have a, you know, an important function to go to, you have a wedding, you have a holiday that you've been looking forward to, a birthday, a vacation, you know, whatever, you don't have to count calories, Betty. You don't have to, you know, count your calories. You don't have to count your macros, because the whole point of the Estima diet is that it has given you tools, that it is not just saying, do this, do that, do this, do that, do this, do that, but it's actually taught you how to approach food. It has potentially given you some psychological peace with your relationship with food, such that when you come off that diet break, whether that diet break is going up to maintenance calories, or maybe you're hyperphagic and you eat more than you should for, whatever it is, a week, 2 weeks, whatever it is, that you have the right nutritional tools, fitness tools, and mindset tools. And within Hello Betty, of course, you also get the coaching that will help you get right back on track. So I actually feel like taking a break from your diet is psychologically very healthy. I think it's, in some ways, it gives you something to look forward to. I think that when we are constantly counting what we're eating, like all forever, I think that that can be laborious, and it can, you know, when you sort of think of the quality of someone's life, you know, the pleasure that someone, you know, if someone's at a wedding and they want to, you know, have a piece of cake and they're like, well, that's going to really put me over on my, like, just have the cake. You know, it's just like I was saying last year, like, just put on the bikini, like, just, you know how you have a beach body, or a bikini body. It's like you put on a bikini on your body and there's your bikini body. Right. So I think that it's important for us to recognize that what we do 80% of the time, if we can adhere to some kind of protocol 80% of the time, and then 20% of the time we have Thanksgiving and Christmas and Easter and holidays in the summer coming up, we can relax a little bit, then I think that that's just the best way to approach life, because you have the best of both worlds. You have metabolic flexibility and efficiency in order to kind of come off the diet and then come back on. So I hope that that answers your question too, Betty. If you have been following my work for any period of time, you're like, man, like I've lost so much weight, or I feel so good. Like now what? Do I just have to keep doing this forever? I hope that that answers your question and gives you some color there. Another question that came in that I thought was great and I'll share with you here as well is, what is an optimal body fat percentage to aspire to for women? And I think that body fat and BMI are often conflated. They're often confused for each other. So I wanted to take a moment to just explain what these are. Body fat, adipose tissue, essential. Okay. Everyone needs a certain amount of body fat to be healthy, right? And of course, men and women, we have different needs, right? In order, like women have a reproductive system. We are naturally going to hold more fat. We are going to have a higher requirement in order to carry out some of the different physiological functions that we have. So for women, the basic amount of fat, like essential fat, is somewhere between 10 and 13%. Okay. For athletes, somewhere between 14 and 20% body fat. Okay. So somewhere between, 14 to like a fifth of your body weight, can be fat. Fitness, the American Council on Exercise, or ACE, has identified like people who are fit to have, for women, somewhere between 21 to 24% fat. So almost a quarter. Acceptable ranges of fat, according to ACE, is 25 to 31. And then obese is north of 32%. And so I think that that's important, because the question was like, I heard that like being under 18% is not bad, or I heard being under 18% is bad. And that's true if we're talking about your BMI, right? So this is your body mass index. So underweight is defined as being under 18.5 for your body mass index. Normal weight is 18.5 to 24.9, and overweight is 25 to 29.9, and then we have sort of grade one and grade two obesity. So grade one obesity is a BMI of 30 to 34.9, and grade five obesity, of course, is going to be north of 35, so 35 to 39.9. And then we also have grade three obesity, which is over 40. Now, BMI doesn't tell the whole story of your overall health, right? Of course, when you have an increased muscle mass, it's possible for you to actually have, we won't say a wrong BMI because the calculation is correct, but it's possible for you to have a higher than expected BMI because you have a total increased body weight, because muscle is heavy. And of course, on the other hand, it's also possible for non-athletes to have a normal, I'm using air quotes, normal BMI, even though they may not necessarily be in good health. And BMI does not distinguish between lean muscle mass and fat mass. It's just mass, right? And that often leads to confusion and frustration, because if you are somebody who is fit, you have a higher lean muscle mass, you have higher muscles, muscles are heavier. That is going to lead, of course, to a higher body weight. But does that mean that you are obese? No, of course it doesn't. And I have lots of examples, colleagues who have, who would be considered, like their BMIs would be considered obese because they are so damn, they have so much muscle. So I think what's a better marker, BMI can tell you some of the story, but I think a better marker is going to be your body fat percentage, which you can do with calipers. Sort of a low tech version could be calipers. More of a high tech would be going into a lab and getting tests done, where they're sort of like dunking you in water there's certain ways that they can. I mean, that's not accessible to everybody, but you can do it with calipers. Low tech version. Another super low tech version is actually just really looking at your waist measurement, your waist to hip measurement as well. So I would say that I would look at BMI, but I would be much more interested in a person's measurements, because of course, muscle, even though it's heavier, is denser tissue, right? So you've all probably seen the, the image of like 5 pounds of muscle versus 5 pounds of fat, like the 5 pounds of fat is like, you know, it's like the size of like my head and then some, right? It looks like it's a lot. So muscle is, or fat, I should say, is sort of fluffy and it's not as dense as muscle is. So I like measurements. I like body measurements as a proxy because the denser you are, the more compact you are. It's highly likely that you have more muscle mass. And of course, we can also look at biomarkers. We can look at labs, we can look at systemic inflammation, we can look at fasting glucose, fasting insulin, HbA1c, all of these different parameters to determine whether somebody is healthy. But I would say that for body fat percentage, what you want to be aiming for most people, I would be aiming for that. If you're someone who follows me, I'm assuming that you're someone who is on the path towards self-actualization and unleashing your Betty. So something in that fitness level, that 21 to 24%. I'll just kind of share with you my numbers. When I was competing, so when I was in, when I was doing my figure competition, and I'll tell you, this is why I lost my period. I got down to about 8% body fat. So I was amenorrheic, didn't have a period for months. Menstrual cycle, when it did come back, absolute gong show, because I was, I mean, y'all know me, right? Like I'm super, I went way too hard, like way too much calorie restriction, I went nuts. I won't ever do that again. But right now, typically I would be categorized in sort of your athletic, category in between that 14 to 20%. I punch out somewhere between 17 to 18% pretty regularly. But I would say that for most people, you can do like 16, 17, 18%. If that's, you know, if you're trying to get into that more athletic build or athletic look. And of course, for fitness, I would say, you know, a fitness percentage of 21 to 24% body fat would be wonderful as well. So, okay. I hope that these two questions have been, and answering them for you here have been really useful. I'd love to hear if you'd like more of these questions answered. And if you would like me to answer your questions, I would love for you to join Hello Betty. And I would love for you to submit your questions and I'd love to be able to coach you. So once again, you'll see that link in the show notes and we'll keep this one short and sweet for now. And we'll see you next week for our interview and our Geeky Magic series. So until then, I bid you adieu. We'll see you soon.
I hope you enjoyed today's episode. For those of you who want to continue on this week's Geeky Magic Carpet Ride with me, visit bettershow.co/show notes. You'll find research, links, summary notes, musings that I prepared in preparation for the podcast. And I often throw in some of my best practices, bonuses, and links. All the juicy bits are in there for you.